Well, good morning. Bless your hearts. Let's take our Bibles and go to Luke chapter 11. If you change the way you think about prayer, you can change your heart toward prayer. And if you change your heart toward prayer, you can change what you believe about prayer. And if you change what you believe about prayer, you can change your results regarding prayer. Now, I know we have ideas concerning prayer and a lot of things we agree, but does your practical application of it agree with what the scriptures say? You know, we say, I believe in prayer. Again, do you? I believe that God answers prayer. Do you? In a practical application, do you live like he answers your prayers? Do you live like you believe in prayer? Do you pray as one who knows God answers prayer? Do you pray as one who knows God hears your requests and answers the petitions that you give? Changing how we think about prayer, again, in regard to when people pray for us, what are your thoughts about when people pray for you? Do you believe that they've entered into the very throne room of grace? That they have an audience with the Almighty God regarding the concerns for you and their concerns for you? Do you believe when you send us in a email or a request, if you will have the Amicus Alliance pray for such and such, do you believe that their prayers will be effectual? Do you believe that the prayers of a righteous man or a righteous woman availeth much? Do you believe these great truths? And do you live as one who does? Do you believe that they go into the Creator, God Almighty, who is love, to ask him to intercede on your behalf? Do you believe that they have gone there to address your need and that God has heard that request and answered that request? Or do you slip into neutral, waiting for it to be answered? It's a good question. When will this promise come to pass? Well, who said, say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again tomorrow, or come again, and tomorrow I will give it thee, when thou hast it by thee? Who said that? God said that. If he says that to us, do you think that he waits till tomorrow? Do you think he asks us to do those things he himself would not even do? Then perhaps if you did think that way, if you did, you can change the way you think about prayer. And you can change your heart toward prayer. And if you change your heart toward prayer, you will really believe your prayers, and you will change the results you get from your prayers. See, is it, I give everything to somebody else, they do the praying for me, and then I just sit and wait for that order to be filled? Is that all I need to do? You might be surprised to learn what Jesus informed his disciples, that there is more to do, and I'd like to go into that a little bit with you today. Because everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh shall find, and whosoever knocketh, it shall be opened unto them. Let's go to Luke chapter 11, and I want to look at this section of the scriptures to get out some more truths regarding prayer, because I want you to be absolutely certain that when you pray and ask for something according to the will of God, it's been done. Or that when you ask our Amicus Alliance or any believers, will you pray with me on this? It is taken before the very throne of God, and the answer is given. Now we need to simply act upon the answer. In Luke 11, it gives us some great insights that I think we'll find valuable in regard to prayer. And in verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place," this is Jesus, "when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples." So what is the context of this chapter?
Prayer.
Prayer and teaching us how to what?
Pray.
I think that's pretty beautiful. Context. They want to learn about prayer. And then Jesus in verse 2, "And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art" where?
In heaven.
Our Father. He is a Father. He is Almighty God. He is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. He is everywhere present. You're not going to miss when you pray. Those things are good to know, but we also need to remember that he is our Father. Just to kind of set this for you, Jesus, in this chapter, there's another situation that comes up, and it's in regarding to receiving the Holy Spirit, but he's trying to make a specific point. And let's pick it up in verse 11. It says, "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a
father."
Now, he's already said, when you pray, pray this way, Father. When you pray, say, Our Father. In other words, be in remembrance that he is a father. Now he comes back and reiterates, this is part of the lesson. Okay, he's reiterating. "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone?" That would be ridiculous. "Or if he asks for a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent?" My God, give him a snake instead of a fish. Would you do that?
No.
It's so silly. None of you as a father would do that, or a mother. And he's telling us, when we pray, then what is our expectation as children of God? That when I ask for bread, he's not going to give me a... When I ask for healing, he's not going to give me sickness. He's not going to place diseases upon me and those things. When I ask him according to his will, and his will is, "Beloved, I wish above all things thou mayest prosper and be in health," or "live well" is really the text. I know people say it doesn't mean this, it doesn't mean... Yes, it means everything. It's all inclusive. "I am the Lord, thy physician. By his stripes ye were healed." So what is God's will regarding health?
Healing.
Okay. So what is a father's? You as a father, let me just ask you, it's not going to be written here, particularly in the scripture, in this illustration, but you as a father, when your child needs healing, what do you do? You jump right to it. Well, what if you as a father are willing to do that? How about God, who is love, who taught us how to be loving? What is he going to do? Just a question. "Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion?" How would you like your toast and scorpion? I mean, toast and eggs. your stones and scorpions. Yeah. I mean, your toes and aches. If you then, and he's speaking to the Pharisees in this particular case, and particularly those who are evil born. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to them that asketh him? Or anything else? He doesn't ask, you know, he's speaking to those that are evil. And yet, even evil men would treat their own children and give them food, give them something to drink. Even an evil father would do that. What about God Almighty? See? So when you pray, you're talking to that God who is love, that God who has the compassion of a father that would have for his children, for his own offspring. Do you think he's going to ask you, or is he going to say, go and come again, and tomorrow I'll give it to you? Oh, forgot. Come back tomorrow. No. Well, if he's willing to give you eternal life, the greatest gift, what would he withhold from you? Well, verse 2. And say unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art where? In heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done as in heaven, so in where?
Earth.
Earth. Now, why would he say that if that was an absolute impossibility? And as I've shared with you a number of times about John G. Lake and the illustration he would give of a man getting a tour of heaven, and they look around and the man says to the angel, there's no sickness here, I don't see any of these things. And God, and the angel says, because it's not God's will. What would you find in heaven's kingdom? And Jesus said, the kingdom is within you. So where is the kingdom of God? It is within us. Do we have to wait for these things? No, not at all. Let it be done. And give us this day our daily bread. Before I go on to that, look at Revelation 21, just in case you have any question about it. I do want to make sure that you understand this. Revelation 21, verse 1, and it says, And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, Jerusalem, New Jerusalem, coming down from God, where? Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Okay? So we're talking about heaven, right? Okay. Good. And it says in verse 4, And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more
death.
If there is no more death, there will be no more sickness. It's just logical, because sickness and injury and disease is death in part. But he says here, there shall be no more what?
Death.
Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. So, if we're talking about his kingdom, what's done in his kingdom to be done on earth, then what is our expectation? Healing, wholeness, and this, and such like. Then it says, give us this day our daily bread. Well, that could mean food. But we're coming up in the next weeks where you're going to do the communion. And part of that communion is what? Bread. And when you eat that bread, that bread represents the life of Jesus Christ. Digest it. For by his stripes ye were healed. Then if we have our daily bread, what should be our thinking daily?
Healing.
By his stripes ye were
healed.
See, if you have a particular physical problem, let's just take that, whether it's sickness, whether it's disease, whether it's an injury, whether it's a pain, whatever, a deformity, or whatever. Maybe it doesn't hurt you, but you don't like it, okay? I'd like you to take that right now. Just take a moment. And do you believe that if we pray together right now, that God will hear our prayer and answer it immediately?
Yes.
Then what I'd like to do is just take a moment. And Father, I lift to you everyone who is here. Father, all of our people who are sitting and listening to the CDs, or whether they're downloading it off of our website, or however they are hearing this teaching today. Lord, heal them in the name of Jesus Christ. I command healing wholeness, whether it be deformity, make it whole and correct. Straighten it out, Father. Whether it be sickness or disease, go from their bodies. You have no right nor place. According to the will of God, be gone. You are darkness, he is light, you must go. You are children of light, darkness must leave. Father, whether there's pains, go in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I give to you everyone who's sitting through this today, and I thank you for healing each and every one of them and setting them whole and setting everything aright in their physical body. Whether it's out of balance, bring it back in balance, Father. Whether it needs something, add to it. Whether it has something that shouldn't be subtracted from their bodies. But Father, you made and formed these wonderful bodies that we have. And you have not forgotten how you did it and how you designed it when you made Adam. I thank you, Father, then to go to your manual of whatever it is for each and every person and heal their body. Give them strength. Thank you, Father, for the wonderful immune system you've placed in their bodies, for the wonderful white cells that are in their bodies. Let them be energized and go to work and do the work. Father, that they heal each and every one of them now in the name of Jesus Christ. Take these pains, take these sicknesses, take these diseases from off of them, which I know you already did through Jesus Christ. He carried it for us so we can be free. Father, let their hearts manifest the wholeness of the truth that they believe in their prayers. Amen. There's even more. After give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. Father, if we need forgiveness, which we do, we thank you for our forgiveness, for taking our sins off, and once again for the redemptive work of Jesus Christ and make them whole. And lead us not into temptation, or forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. What a prayer. What a wonderful prayer. When we pray, believe. Jesus did. We ought to believe that God has heard our prayer and he has removed it. But there's still some more. I'd like you to drop down to verse 9. See, deliver us from evil. Is not sickness, disease, pain, and all those things evil? Deliver us from evil. When are we to be delivered? Well, when's the day he's going to give us the bread? This day, every day, every single day, this is the day of our deliverance. Thank God, move ahead. Now, it takes time in the healing processes for our bodies to catch up with being made whole. Even a surgeon knows if he, for instance, puts your broken leg back together, puts those bones back together, it's essentially been healed, but now it takes time for it to be functional. We hear so much about our football players, they tore their ACL or something else, and they go to the doctor and the doctor sews it, but it takes time for them, and we call it rehab. How many of you have ever had an injury? Okay, or known of someone who had an injury. Although it healed or the problem was dealt with, it required rehab. It hurt, but they kept going because they considered it healed. You take a professional athlete, he tears his ACL and he can't run. That man, once the surgery has been completed, begins rehab. And you know today, pretty much right after they finish anything at the hospital, they got you out of the bed and they got you doing something. Mm-hmm. To act upon the healing you've been given, right. They call it rehab. I call it acting on your healing. And you go through it and it hurts at times. Not every healing necessarily is instantaneous, and it hurts. And your mind says, I better take it easy because it hurts too much and I don't want to ruin it. And then the guy who does the rehab comes in the room and says, get up, lift your leg, move it. Yeah, well, maybe they're not that vehement, but they do tell you, you got to go, you got to move, you got to keep going. And you know, you're afraid you're going to damage it worse, and they want to get you to start utilizing it. Where is your thinking? How do you think regarding healing? See, although it hurts, you keep going. Or do you lay in bed waiting for something to happen? Are you waiting for a sign? Are you waiting for something to suddenly happen, the lights flip backwards, or, you know, if my telephone rings, I know I'll be healed. Not unless Jesus is on the line. I don't know. But it takes, a lot of times it takes time, but you push through the pain because you know you have been healed. Then Jesus reveals the wonderful truth in light of prayer in verse 9. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. If a son, and then it goes on to the rest of it. But you ask, you make the request. You ask. You make a request because there is a supply there to fill your need. God said, say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow give it when you have it by you. Does God have healing right by him?
Yes.
But if you want water, who's got to turn on the faucet?
You do.
You must act upon the knowledge that you have. You know water doesn't come out of your faucet till you turn that handle. So what do? You turn the handle. You know that healing will not be manifested until you act upon the word that is given. Look at Mark chapter 3. This record we're all familiar with. In Mark chapter 3, and this is regarding Jesus, in verse 1, and he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day, or to do evil, to save a life or to kill? But they held their peace. So what is he going to be doing? Good or evil?
Good.
Withhold not good. Okay. And when he looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And and that's not referring to Jesus, that's referring to the man. He stretched it what?
Out.
He stretched it out. He did that which was impossible simply because he believed Jesus' word. Would Jesus tell him to stretch forth his hand if he couldn't do it? But Jesus knew that God is even over physical opportunities. He is even over physical laws. And he told the man to do what?
Stretch
forth thine hand. Now, was Jesus ignorant? The man had a withered hand, and he's, oh my gosh, I'm sorry, I didn't know your hand was withered. No, he wasn't ignorant of the problem. But in order for him, the man, to gain his release, that man had to do something. He had to believe the word that Jesus gave him and stretch forth his hand. How do you do that?
Speak to him.
He just believed the word that Jesus said, that he could do that which is impossible. Did Moses have to figure out how to part the sea before he put the staff up? Or when I hold his staff up, how in the heck is that going to part a sea? I mean, what power does a staff have over the sea? And when I hold out this staff, what in the world is going to happen that the sea is going to part and stand up in a heap? And we're going to walk across on dry land. How is all that? He didn't care how it all happens. He doesn't have to figure that out. That's God's job. All he had to do was hold out that staff. All he had to do is stretch forth his hand. God had to figure the rest of it out. Do you believe God can take a hand that's dead and move it? Mm-hmm. Well, he better be able to, because Jesus Christ's entire body had been dead for 3 days and everything stopped. His heart was no longer beating. The blood had coagulated throughout his entire system. Mm-hmm. And God figured out a way to get that thing going. Seek. You ask. Then you seek. You pursue after it. The word seek means to endeavor or to try. Keep trying, knowing it will. You keep trying, knowing it will. If my arm doesn't go up the first time I try it, I quit. No, I keep going until it goes. Because I know it will. Why? Because God said it will. He believed Jesus' words. When the human will is determined upon the word of God, the power of God can be energized in a dynamic way. And then knock. It means to rap upon the door for the purpose of entry. You let, you know, if a friend comes to you, the preceding verses, you let them in. If we ask and seek, we gain entrance into the benefits of God. I'm not even going to say the promises of God. They are the benefits of God to those who believe and those whom he loves, which includes everyone. It's really something. Well, it's interesting to me how look at verse 2 of Mark 3. And they, meaning the Pharisees, if you look up for back to the last chapter, it identifies them. It's the Pharisees, watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day that they might. Even they believed that he was going to heal him. And here we are, children of God, and wondering if God's going to do it. When's he going to do it? How's he going to do it? They believed Jesus was going to do it. That's why they were watching him. They weren't concerned whether whether the guy was getting healed, but they were concerned whether it was going to be on the Sabbath or not so they could accuse him. But they weren't questioning whether he was going to heal him. Mm-hmm. You see, Jesus didn't grab the man's hand. He just gave the man the benefits of being a believing one. Psalm 102. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, and forget not all his benefits. Who healeth all thy diseases, who healeth all thy sicknesses, all the diseases, and redeemeth thy life from destruction. He just gave him the benefit. These are our benefits. If you have an insurance policy, your insurance policy gives you certain benefits. But do they automatically give it to you, or do you have to ask? Do you have to seek it out, and do you have to knock in order to get it? Well, when it comes to these benefits of God, we need to ask, then we need to seek, we need to endeavor to try to live that promise of God, and then allow it to make entrance to our lives. Look at Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, I'm really trying to set this for you to try and penetrate some of the doubts and fears that have crept in among us. Maybe it's because we hear so much negatives regarding health on television. Every 5 minutes they're coming up with a commercial for a new drug or something, and then we find out that what we've been powdering our babies behind with for the last 50, 60 years now causes cancer, you know. I mean, good Lord. Well, Acts chapter 3. And you're familiar with this one too. It says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer." Where are they going? To the temple. And what are they going to do when they get there? Pray. "Being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple." He wasn't laying there with the sign that says, "Out of work, anything will help. I'm hurt, you know, with my little cup." The alms that they're talking about in the Bible, when they speak about alms, is they are asking people as they're going in, "When you go in today, would you ask God to intervene in my situation?" What we would call asking people for intercession with the Lord who healeth thee. That's what it's talking about. He's not asking for money. It's not the point of money. What he is asking, and he's out there, especially at the time of prayer, what do you think he's asking people to do? Pray. "Please go in and pray for me." Mm-hmm. "Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms." It's the word "ask" here is a request to do something rather than to give something. His asking is for them to do something rather than to give him something. He's not looking for money. "And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.'" I love it because look how focused he wants the man to be, and how focused Peter and John are. And that means when he focused in on the man, he closed out the 10,000 commercials he had just heard. He closed out the cynicism of our world. He closed out the negativity in Jerusalem. He closed out all of the unbelief that was in Jerusalem so he could focus upon what this man's this man's request, this intercession, that they would have a prayer of believing for this man. He focused on him and focused everything else out so that he would be absolutely sure when he finished, the answer would be there. Beautiful. I love it. That his heart would be absolutely comforted by the truth of the word. He closed out the world's unbelief. Verse 5, "And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive" what?
Something.
Yeah. When you pray, what is your expectation?
To receive.
When you ask people to pray for you, what is your expectation? It's a rhetorical question. But he was expecting to
receive.
We ask people to pray, and you know, we even forget that there's people praying for us 5 minutes later. We forget that someone has made intercession for us, that our Heavenly Father, whom if we asked the bread, would give us bread. If we asked an egg, gives us eggs, who wouldn't even withhold eternal life from us. You think he's willing to heal us in this one? (Clears throat) Then, verse 6, Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Beautiful. Peter's not praying, at least not in the sense of praying, but regardless of whether it's a prayer or someone's there ministering to you, it is fulfilling your request. You got it? Mm-hmm. And Peter commands as one who has authority. He takes him by the hand and says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, what? Rise up and walk. And it is really electrifying to me. This word rise up and walk, this word rise is used 141 times in the Bible. And over 50% of them has to do with the resurrection of one who was dead and come alive. His legs were as good as dead, but he's saying, come alive, rise up and walk. He's commanding those legs to gain strength and rise up by the power of God and the authority he has in the name of Jesus Christ. But that man has to determine that he is going to rise. And believe that those legs, which were no good to him, were as good as dead, at the word of Peter and John, he was going to rise up and walk. How's that going to happen? Peter didn't worry about how that's going to happen. That's God's job. The man didn't have to worry about, how am I going to do that? I've never even walked in my life. Geez, what do I do? How do you stand up? How do you walk? No, those things didn't even enter in. It's just, he knew Peter was giving him the word and the will of God, and he was going to do it. He was just going to do it. His will met with the promise of God, or with the benefit of God at that point, and he was going to do it. That God would not ask him to do something he could not do or would not do. He was going to do it. Because whatever it was, he knew Peter wasn't a stupid man. He knew John wasn't a stupid man. They knew he was laid there at the gate. They knew his legs were impotent. But he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the benefits that have been gained through Jesus Christ, by his stripes we were healed. Do what? Rise up and walk. Rise. Resurrection. That which was dead is now alive. On a miniature scale. Isn't that beautiful? Oh my gosh. Well, I just want to close this out. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 34. I just want to continue to take you, as God directs me, more and more to those things that will help you in your prayer life as well as help many others. So, in Isaiah chapter 35, and in verse 3, it says, "Strengthen ye the weak hands, confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with a vengeance, even God with a recompense, and he will come and save you, make you whole." I believe that with every prayer we pray. I believe that with every step we take. I believe that with every day we get our daily bread. He is there. This is the day. And he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Because our God will come with a vengeance, not a vengeance toward you, but a vengeance that will save you, a vengeance that will put things aright for you, a vengeance that will take the things that are wrong in your body and change them and make it right. I believe now is the time, this is the day, and this is the will of God. Bless your hearts.